Good morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19. In light of the baptisms and testimonies we heard on Sunday, I thought maybe this week I would focus a little bit on people encountering God, what happens to them, what goes on in their lives. And so I'll try to keep that a focus this week during morning prayer, just responding to Sunday. So let's read about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, let's read from verse 1 through 10. And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax gatherer, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he heard and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. I think there's a lot of really good insights that we can get from Zacchaeus. And dealing with the drama of salvation. This is one of the big questions that we have. How is it that people can sit in a service, listen to the same message, be very similar in personality, demeanor, all these things, but yet one person will receive the Lord gladly and another person will reject him? We have situations where people, let's say there's a tragedy that happens in their families. Someone dies or someone gets very ill. And you'll have a set of parents, a husband and a wife. The husband, through this horrible experience, will actually have drawn near to God and give their life to the Lord. And then you have someone else who's in the same situation and enduring the same difficulty, and yet they'll totally turn their heart away from the Lord. This is the drama and the mystery of salvation. Well, let's look at something. Maybe we can get some insight into this, and hopefully it can help us in our prayers. So Zacchaeus, interesting enough, Zacchaeus, his name means pure, which is really doesn't seem like that's exactly who he is, but I think it's a very prophetic name that he gets. He's pure. It goes all the way back to the Beatitudes in Matthew. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, Zacchaeus, his name was pure, and he got to see God, but he had to do two specific things that he can actually get to have this view of God. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Let me just do a little bit of background to give you to understand. When the Romans entered into a territory and they conquered a region or a people groups, a lot of that was for fame, glory, and all those things. But this is one thing that you have to understand about the human condition. It's all about money, okay? It's all about money. You'll see even a lot of the wars that have been played out and a lot of the conflicts, even recently, and a lot of people will say, well, it's not really about liberating a people. It's about oil. And I think that's a very valid argument, really, in some of these assessments. And you see how people are protecting their own personal interests. Rome was very similar. Rome, when they went and they conquered different areas, not only did that mean that they ruled these areas, but now they were actually given a tribute. There was you can't use the word offering, but there was basically a tax. And in the Romans, in their language, they would call it a tribute. And it was what they needed to pay Rome for them to be a vassal state of this empire. And so what the Romans did, they were very, very clever, and they didn't have their own people come and collect taxes and whatnot. They would actually have and bring their own people with their own culture, their own language, and they would go and collect taxes on behalf of Rome. There was a certain amount of tribute, a certain amount that Rome wanted from a particular region. As long as they got that amount, they were fine. If these tax gatherers, if they wanted to skim the top, charge more, give to Rome, and keep for themselves, in Rome's point of view, they really didn't care. If these people, their own people, wanted to rip their own people off, that was fine. And so you can imagine this is why tax gatherers were so hated. Because, number one, not only were they traitors, I mean, can you imagine they were doing the Roman Empire's work of collecting taxes on their own people. And so in their mind, they were traitors. And so on top of that, not only were they traitors, but they were also devious. They were liars. They went out of their way to not only be a traitor, but now also to rip off their own people. Rome didn't care. As long as they got their tribute, they were fine. And we see that Zacchaeus here, this person who's named Pure, guess what? He is not just a tax collector. The Bible says he's the chief tax collector. In other words, this guy has risen up through the ranks. He knows the system really well, and he's very savvy, and he is the head guy. And the Bible makes mention he was rich. I mean, this guy was loaded, but also incredibly, incredibly despised by the people. And so here's this background of this story. And so the Lord enters into Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax gatherer, so we know he was a head honcho, and he was very rich. He was trying to see Jesus. I want to go back to that verse. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, Zacchaeus, his intention, his heart, he wanted to see Jesus. But there are two things that got into Zacchaeus' way that he couldn't see Jesus. And the Bible says he was trying to see who he was. He was unable to see the Lord because of the crowd. And number two, because he was small in stature. I want to suggest to you, this is actually the first time in the Bible that anyone's height in terms of shortness was mentioned. Other times, you know, we hear people were tall, Goliath, Saul, these guys. But this first time that we mention that actually someone is actually short. And it'll have a very significant point in a moment. And so he's unable to see the Lord. And this is, I think, where we can draw some conclusions for ourselves. He's unable to see the Lord because of the crowd. Because there were so many people there. Because whatever the crowd was at, or whatever they're doing, we don't know exactly the whole story here. But it's the crowd that did not let Zacchaeus see the Lord. I think as a real personal kind of a look into our own hearts, how many times in our lives does that work as well? That we let the crowd dictate how we look at God. Or we let circumstances or people around us kind of dictate how close we are going to get with God. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that bad company corrupts good morals. And we see a lot of times that, yeah, the crowd and the people that we hang out with, they could very well dictate the kind of relationship that we can have with God. And so it's really important for you to make sure that you have a good crowd of people around you. This is one of our prayers, my wife and I, related to our kids. Because, you know, I mean, we can control things at home, I mean, as best as we can. But really, we find out that when kids grow up, the voice of the parents begin to drown out. And really, it's the voice of peers that really begin to take more ground in someone's life. And so even from day one, my wife and I, we've prayed. And, you know, it's probably not really a common prayer, but we've always prayed for good peers. We've always said, God, would you bring good friends along the way to our girls, that they would have a good system of support around them, because bad company corrupts good morals. It's just one of these things that happens. And so we're going to make sure in your own life, right, make sure your crowd is one that actually lets you see God in his fullness instead of distract your view of who he is. And I think all of us, we can relate to this in some way. And the other flip side, too, is make sure that if you're a peer or a crowd of somebody, right, that you are constantly drawing them closer to God. Make sure you're the good crowd in this way. So he couldn't see the Lord because of the crowd. And the second thing, and I'll talk about this a little bit more, and he was small in stature. You guys come, it's Luke 19, Zacchaeus. And so he was small in stature, and he was short. I think this is a great picture of this, because in Romans 3:23, it says something. It says, all have sinned, and we fall short of the glory of God. In other words, there is a height that we are to live out as followers of Christ. That there is a height that we are to maintain and to achieve and a goal. I mean, you could say all different kinds of things, but there is in our humanness, as people created in the image of God, there is a height by which God wants us to get to, but we sin and then we fall short of that height. And so really, in this idea, it's the crowd, but it's also, and I want to relate this, it's really dealing with our sins. Your sins actually will prevent you from seeing who God is in fullness. And in fact, I'll say it this way, it is actually your sins that will give you a distorted view of who God is. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people and even God and church and all these things. And people, they have so many complaints. I had this conversation a few weeks ago with a guy. So many complaints about this, so many complaints about that, and so on and so forth. And then after a while, I just stopped him and I says, hey, how's your relationship with the Lord? How are you doing with God? Do you have a quality relationship with the Lord today? And then he confessed, no, I don't. I said, that's why you're complaining, man, right? Don't focus on all the complaints and all that, because there are such minor things. And even this person relayed to me, he says, you know, I know, P-Sam, I'm acting like a baby. Yeah, that's true. You're acting like a total sissy right now, to be honest. Right? But it's this reality that your sin, because you lack the quality of relationship, is going to distort the picture of everything. We have sin and we fall short of the glory of God. Have you ever heard this phrase that people often quote? I think it's Shakespeare or someone like that, and it says to err is human and to forgive divine. We've heard this before, right? You know, that's actually not true. I mean, to err is the human condition, but when we err, when we sin, it actually makes us less than human. There is a place that God has for us. There is a height by which God is wanting us to operate in. And because of our sin, it's not just the human condition, that's part of it, but our sin, I suggest to you, actually makes us less than human. That's not what God had intended for our lives. When God created us and we were the apple of his eye, there was a height that God had for every single child of his. But because we sin, we fall short of that. And in many ways, we become less than human. Sin does this incredible, incredible, diabolical job in our lives. That's why we need to be aware and be away from sin as much as possible. So going back, verse 3. He was trying to see who Jesus was. He was unable to because of the crowd. So make sure you're around the right crowd. Make sure that the crowd is not dictating your relationship with God. That make sure that the crowd is not impinging upon your walk with the Lord. And also, he was small in stature. And I suggest to you what is meant by that. He was small in stature. I mean, obviously, Zacchaeus was a short guy. But I think the spiritual meaning behind this is because of his sins. His sins crowded out the view of the Lord. And so what does he do? He runs ahead. He climbs up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. It's interesting enough. So Zacchaeus, what does he do? He runs ahead, he climbs up a tree, and then he can finally see him. And obviously, you know, you don't have to be a genius to recognize you can make a very simple allusion to this, to the cross. It's when we get on top of the cross. It's when we start viewing life and viewing people and viewing things out of the lens of the cross. And then everything becomes very, very clear. I would say the first time that I really, really saw God, I mean, really, just first time I had a glimpse of who God was at the vantage point of the cross. When I understood what the cross was, then I understood everything. You know, for the longest time, and I've shared my testimony in the past, the longest time I thought I was a pretty good guy. I never really got into any devices, never really did drugs, I never drank, don't even drink coffee. This is, you know, growing up, didn't smoke. I puffed a cigarette like 3 times. I hated it. I tried marijuana once, one puff and couldn't stand it. And I just didn't do it. I had a sip of beer, didn't like it. And that was it. This is all through my growing up stages. And I thought I was a pretty good person. And I was a good son. I studied okay. I mean, could do a little better. But stayed out of trouble, just played a lot of sports. And, you know, not much. And I thought I was just a good guy, just a nice guy. I had a little bit of a temper problem, but most guys do. That's not a big deal. You know, I thought I was Korean, so I'm entitled to that temper issue. But on the most part, thought okay. But it wasn't until I started coming to church and I had a vision of the cross. And I remember very distinctly, that's when I realized, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. My sins put Jesus Christ on that cross. And now, because of that, I could see everything. But it was the vision of the cross that brought me into that place. And so he climbs up, he sees this thing. Jesus, now notice this. Jesus sees Zacchaeus up in the tree. He looked and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. This is the mystery of salvation in a way. There comes a point in people's lives, and I believe that every single person, there is a moment of decision that comes when God calls out your name. I think it happens to every single individual. It just doesn't happen to people who are in church. I think it happens to pygmies, you know, out in the bush, you know, the aboriginals. I think there's a moment of history, God is faithful to his word, where he calls out people's names. There's no reason why Jesus would have known his name except for God give it to him through a prophetic utterance. And he calls out and says, Zacchaeus, God knows every single one of our names. Isn't that amazing? The Bible, the Beatitudes says that he we're not to worry because he knows, you know, every hair in our head and whatnot. I mean, can you imagine? If God knows every hair in our head, surely he knows everyone's name. And that's really the key. It's really a old, beautiful song that, you know, we sing it here once in a while for offering and whatnot. You know, it's just simply, the word simply says, he knows your name. There's something actually quite powerful about that, right? He knows our name. And that there's a point in time, every single individual on this planet, where Jesus will call out their name. Will call out their name in a dream, in a vision, personally, through somebody. But Jesus Christ will call out their name. And what they do in response to that will dictate the quality of life. Have you ever had a time when, like when we have our kids, and I recognize this, our kids, you know, they're fighting or whatnot, or, you know, just really messing around. And what do parents usually do? Elise! You know, Emma! You know, or something. And it kind of startles them up. But see, the key is, it's not really the calling out. It's what they do in response to their name being called out is really what matters. Now, if they stop fighting, if they ignore, you know, if they keep at it with each other, or whatnot, I mean, that is really going to dictate the quality of the evening for us in our home or the quality relationship that I'm going to have with my daughter during that time. And it's one of these things that happens. And every single individual, some of you guys have been praying for things, praying for fathers and mothers and aunts and uncles to receive the Lord. And I mean, we've been praying through this list, and I'm sure that you have your own list that you pray through. Rest assured, people of God, God knows their name. God knows exactly who they are. And there's going to be a moment of time, our time, their time, when God's going to call out their name. That's not, in fact, you know, to be honest, that is not something we should be even praying for. That's just going to be a reality. What we should pray for is the response. What are they going to do when God calls out their name? Right? Don't waste our time asking God to call out their name. It's a done deal. It's going to happen. But what is the response of the people, of your uncle, your dad, your brother, your sister, your friend, when his name is called out? Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he heard and came down and received him gladly. Right? He received him in this place. And then people started complaining. Now, this is the sign of repentance. This is one of these things. You know, Zacchaeus doesn't give half of his wealth. He doesn't give back four times those that he's defrauded to get saved. No, he gives to the poor, and he gives back those he defrauded because he is saved. Totally different thing. And so Zacchaeus stops. He says, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. This is what we call fruits of repentance. Half of my possessions I give to the poor. Again, he didn't need to do this, but he did it out of the pureness of his heart. And then it says, if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. You know, meaning he had one ledger that he gave to Rome. He had his own personal ledger, and he figured all these things. Now, think about this. He's going to give half of his possessions to the poor, okay? Now, anyone he's defrauded, whatever part he's defrauded, he's going to give four times that amount. Zacchaeus is going to be broke. I mean, you know, you sit here and start doing the math. Zacchaeus is basically saying, Lord, I'm going to give everything away. This is really the fruit of repentance. This is kind of, you know, people say like, well, you know, is this person saved? How can you tell when someone is saved? You know, honestly, in one aspect, we really don't know. You know what I mean? Because it is such a personal thing, a personal relationship with God. But I would say that throughout the scriptures, there are fruits of repentance. There are definitely things that we can see and we can evaluate and we can judge in many ways because we see that fruit. And someone comes to the Lord, man, something happens in their life. There should be a fruits of repentance that happens in their lives. And what is his response? He says, today, salvation has come to this house. Because he too is a son of Abraham. Can you imagine how soothing this is? Remember, in this time, Zacchaeus, he would have been hated. And now, what is God doing? God is including him into the family of God. Regardless of his past actions, regardless, he's calling him out and says, hey, this too is a child of Abraham. He includes him into the family of God. And then, this is the prophetic statement. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Powerful verse. He came to seek and save that which was lost. So let's close our eyes today. I just want to encourage us, especially if we're praying for people, praying for their salvation. God's going to call out their name. He probably is already calling out their names. This morning, let's pray for the response of God. Response to God. Just begin to lift them up before the Lord. As Eunice leads us in a song, I just want to encourage you to go before the Lord. Just lift up.
Stretches to the sky.
Let's pray this morning. Let's continue to lift up friends, family members of ours that have not come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's lift them up. God may be right now calling out their name. Let's pray for a response. Let's pray for fruits of repentance. Let's lift them up. Let's go to our community prayer focus and let's pray for our friends and family members that are battling cancer. Let's pray that they would win this fight, that God would release that healing word over their lives. Let's pray for our ones that need to be healed, but also need to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that God would call out their name, they would respond to Him. Let's pray for others that are sick without non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our friends that are looking for work. As some have jobs and looking for different ones and others are out of work, let's pray for God's provision in their life. Let's go to our mission prayer focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask for God's hand on this country. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Pray for Pastor Sam and Annie. Annie should be giving birth any day right now. The last few weeks, their theater has been packed already. There's no more seats. They're growing really fast. And so let's pray for wisdom for the next steps. Pray for the Chung family. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for the Basarabas, Leanne, Edie, Chiar, and the churches. Let's just lift up China, the government, the people. Let's pray for revival to break out in this place. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our staff this morning. Myself, Pei Eugene, Pei Carol, Pei Nei, Pei Sophie, Esther, Yunsu, Ken, Monica, Bonnie, Sarah, and Janella. Let's ask for God's hand to be with us as we serve the Lord with all of our heart. Let's pray for protection, provision, pray for anointing to minister and wisdom. Let's lift up our staff. Let's pray for our worship team and our audio video team. Let's pray for a heart of worship. Let's pray as they serve, they would give themselves to the Lord fully. Let's pray for excellence. Excellence in handling the equipment, excellence in the instruments, excellence in singing. But really, more than that, just a real heart that they would lead people either through electronics or through their talents to really bring people closer to the Lord. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for a house church meeting tonight. Robinson West, Kennedy, OP Grove, Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, and Sha Tin. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to just descend upon the apartments and the gatherings, and the Lord will just really have His way with us as we just minister to one another, as we talk about the baptism this week, that God would really grab a hold. Let's just lift up. Pray for the leaders, all the hosts. Lord, we bless You this morning, God. We thank You, Lord, for just the incredible drama of salvation, God. Thank you, Lord, that you know all of our names, God. You know our circumstances. You know what makes us tick. God, you know what we're going through. God, and you are there. God, you are the God who is always there for us. Lord, we just ask for your presence, God, to carry us through this day, through this week. Lord, we offer to you, help us to give your Son Jesus all the glory that he deserves, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. Have a great day today. We'll see you guys tomorrow.